Okay, I would like to call the meeting to order. And can we please stand for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can you please call the roll?
Mrs. Bennett?
Present.
Mr. Birch?
Present.
Mrs. Stats?
Present.
Mr. Yule?
Present.
Mrs. Bubble?
Present.
Okay, we're going to move into item two, board report.
Under the board report, we give a little bit of an update of what's going on in all of our buildings. So I'm going to start with the primary. The preschool team recently completed two peer screening days in March, and we're able to work with some amazing students and families that will be joining the Little Panther Nation for the 22-23 school year in the developmental preschool program. I'm going to give you now some information on Literacy on the Lawn. It's a postcard that is going to go out to families, and this is a program with Norton Primary, Norton Elementary, and the Akron Summit County Public Library. It's based upon collaborative work with Tricia Ebner and Mary Bird, who works at the library. This is going to take place on June 14th, July 12th, and August 9th at 6:30 p.m. And it's going to be held on the lawn of the Norton branch of the Akron Summit County Public Library. And they ask that you bring your lawn chairs, blankets, and be ready for an hour of stories, jokes, and prizes. Over to you, Lewis.
The upcoming dates, April 25th, end of the year map testing.
Oh yeah, sorry, I missed that.
That's okay.
Thank you.
Map testing for the primary is April 25th to the 27th, and that's for the kindergarten students. And then I'm going to move into the elementary. The book fair will be at NES the week of April 18th. A buy one, get one deal will be taking place at this event. State testing continues with third and fourth graders taking the math OST on April 27th and 28th. Students in grades 2, 3, and 4 will take a field trip to NHS to watch the musical The Addams Family, put on by our high school students on April 20th. Students in first grade will watch a presentation from Outback Ray and his animals on April 20th. And our PAC parent group will be hosting a spring family fun event Sunday, May 1st at Columbia Woods Park from 1 to 4 p.m. And then finally for NES, the We Roar Day 4 will take place on May 6th. The theme for this day will be We Better Our World. NES students will be learning about four nonprofit organizations and raising funds to make a donation. Norton Middle School. Eighth grade trip to Washington, D.C. was successful and everyone had a great time, which is good. It's been several years since we've had that trip, so it was good to see the kids back down there. State testing dates is Monday, April 18th. Let me turn that off. For math, fifth and eighth grade,
nope,
and Friday,
sorry.
April 22nd. Math 6th and 7th grade, and then Monday, April 25th, is science 5th and 8th grade.
Okay, now for the high school. The girls' basketball team had two top five academic All-Ohio, and those players were Bailey Schutze and Gabby DiStefano, was also first team academic All-Ohio. And Bailey Schutze is first team All-Ohio in girls' basketball, so congratulations to them. That's a huge accomplishment. The final We Roar Day of the year will be May 6th, and this is planned as a senior signing day where every senior who is either enrolled, enlisted, or employed will sign a commitment, and this will be held during the school day. They're still working out the details, but that'll be held on May 6th. And special congratulations to our athletic director, Don Schimmick. Don was awarded the Sportsmanship, Ethics, and Integrity Award by the Northeast Ohio Interscholastic Athletic Administration Association. And that's N-E-O-I-A-A-A. Well, that's a lot. He was awarded this for being a positive role model who demonstrates commitment to good sportsmanship, teaches positive values, and faithfully serves the youth of Ohio. So a big congratulations to our athletic director, Don Schimmick.
Okay, and finally, I just want to talk about some happenings that we've discussed in our board meetings. And what I want to say is discussions have occurred recently regarding wages in our school district. And these conversations are always encouraged and welcome. Norton has been a district that has always valued its people, but it's also been a district that has incurred the financial challenges of our state's funding formula and the impacts the wages have on our workers. The efficiency of the district has always been a necessity, and it always will be. In spring of 2021, negotiations occurred, and the board was pleased to present our OPSI group with a board considered the best contract for OPSI workers in 10 years. Through the past sacrifices made by our workers, the continued support of our Norton community, you guys, and our long-term plan to eventually offer fair and improved wages, the board was able to offer a 3-year contract with an increase of 2% each year. In addition, we were pleased to offer our drivers an additional 25 cents per hour on the salary schedule, which equals another 1.5%. This ended up being a 3.5% wage increase for the drivers, the largest increase for any group of workers in Norton City Schools since 2005. It's the largest yearly increase for any group of workers in the last 17 years. While there is a recognition that an hourly wage can always improve, this most recent contract was the beginning of a long-term plan to offer improved wages. That offer was happily and fairly made, and the contract was signed and board approved. There has been fair comparisons to our hourly wages to other districts, and we recognize where we currently sit. As mentioned, we've embarked upon a plan to improve that and have made very positive steps. What's not been discussed has been the board's approach to providing insurance benefits to our workers. In 19 local school districts that responded to our request for information, 0 of these districts offered insurance benefits to their workers at a minimum of 20 hours a week per week, hours of work per week, which is an offer Norton City Schools has. In fact, many districts begin insurance benefits at 30 hours per week. We consider it a blessing to do that and are thankful that our employees have the opportunity to be insured at 20 hours per week. Any business looks at how much employees make and what the total cost of business is to employ a person and or group of employees. In our case, the drivers who take insurance add to the total cost per hour. It's called a benefit because it's a benefit to that person. That being said, it changes the hourly wage significantly when it is considered as cost, which is to the district and our supportive community. A person who makes $19.21 an hour, who takes family insurance, pays $611.81 per month and $7,341.72 per year for that insurance. And the board commits an additional $13,574 per year to keep that employee insured. The board is glad to offer that, but when it is included in the total cost per hour, that employee is making $32.55 an hour. A person who makes $1,861 an hour, who takes single insurance, pays $169.14 per month and $2,293.92 per year for insurance. And the board commits an additional $6,033 per year to keep that employee insured. The board is glad to offer this, but when that is included, the total cost for our budget, that employee is making $24.05 an hour. 11 of our 16 bus drivers take insurance, and this changes the district's contribution to their overall financial planning. We do have hourly wages for drivers that begin at $16.37 per hour, but we also have 10 drivers who make between $24 and $32.55 per hour based on the cost of employment. This total includes both an hourly wage and the benefits package that has been discussed. When a school district hires an employee at any wage, the amount of benefits is always built into the package.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We're gonna move on to the district report.
Thank you, Mr. Yule. Just 3 quick items. I wanna remind everyone that next month, May 2nd through 6th, is National Teacher Appreciation Week. At Norton, we call it Staff Appreciation Week. If there was ever a time where any of you wanted to send a note to a teacher or a staff member just to say thanks for the amazing work that they do, that's a great week to do it. And obviously, we feel great about the people that are here with your kids. Also want to mention this Wednesday is Pathway to Peace. I believe that that's still on for Wednesday. All right. Well, if it's not, I'm blaming Mr. Dobbins. But we are going to break in the Pathway to Peace this Wednesday at Columbia Woods Park. And I've been doing this a long time. I'm not sure that I have seen a more collaborative project involving so many kids in a school district than the Pathway to Peace at Columbia Woods. Our youngest kids, all the way to our high school kids, have put together this amazing project. They wrote a grant. Really, this stemmed from sixth grade girls that started this project. They're now eighth graders. They've just done incredible things, and we need to be proud of them. So that's this Wednesday. And then next week, looking forward to the spring musical. I think maybe Jennifer Lewis talked about it, the Addams Family, and that's next weekend at our Performing Arts Center. Contrary to popular belief, Mr. Shaner is not playing Uncle Fester. Is that accurate?
It is accurate. And the person that is, you could not typecast them any better than.
Is it Mr. Dobbins? All right. So that's it for the district. We have so many things that are going on right now. One of the big things that we mentioned was the state testing. And I sent information home a couple of Mondays ago. I hope that you took some time to read it. It's just important for the kids to get a good night's sleep, for them to feel good about what they're doing. These scores matter to the kids. It's not everything. There are so many things bigger and more important than state test scores, but they're important days for the kids, and it's okay for them to be excited and want to do well. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. We're gonna move on to item 4, student recognition.
We're gonna start with Mr. Shaner and our high school kids tonight.
Kenzie, come on up. Where's Andrea? Oh, there you are. Come on. And then Ms. Thornberry, Ms. Ward, if you guys come up as well. So I have the distinct pleasure to introduce you to two seniors. This is Andrea Studia. She is our April Student of the Month, and this is Mackenzie Robert, and she is our April Career Tech Student of the Month. And I'm gonna between here. So I'm gonna start with Mackenzie. So Mackenzie is in our athletic health care program, so I'm gonna have Ms. Ward say a few words here in just a minute. But she's a delightful young lady. She played basketball for many years on the bowling team this year as well. One interesting thing that I found out just by sitting down and talking to her, you like to live by yourself in the summer down at like camping in Senecaville, and you're planning on doing that again this summer. Good luck. Good job by you. I don't know. I can do it myself. But anyway, so she is planning on going to start state majoring in athletic or becoming a physical therapy assistant. So that's kind of her future plans. And obviously, I had asked Mrs. Ward, who does a tremendous job of running our athletic health care program at the high school, to come and say a few words as well.
Mackenzie has taken lots of opportunities with our work-based learning. She worked at the PT Center last summer, getting volunteer hours in. Our students have to do 250 hands-on hours. She also worked with our hearing and vision assessments with our school nurse. So she was in all the schools from elementary, primary, up to the high school. And she just passed her state industry test. In career tech, you have state industry tests you have to take. So she just passed her physical therapy technician certification, which means she can be an entry-level position as a physical therapy aide in any rehab setting.
So congratulations, Mackenzie. Can you stay up here with us? Oh, you can clap, I'm sorry. I love this part about when we get to tell the students when I told Mackenzie she won, her face lit up. She's like, I've never won anything. It was a great moment. So, then we have Andrea Studia. She is a senior as well. And I could go down the list of the things that she's involved in at school, but we would be here till about 9 o'clock. So I'm going to jump past that and say she is a tremendous artist. I think that's kind of an understatement. Correct me if I'm wrong. Ms. Thornberry, we'll talk about that in just a minute. But she does a tremendous job, obviously. She does a lot within the school. She's a cheerleader as well as, I know that she's had a tremendous impact in our drama department as well as with our fashion show that we run every year. But the most amazing thing about Adrienne, that I just want to share before I turn this over to Ms. Thornberry, she has never missed a day of school. Now, that's not the most amazing part about it. The most amazing part is, and I asked her if it's okay if I mention this, Andrea is actually a type 1 diabetic. And so when you mix the fact that she has a pretty significant health issue that she deals with all the time, that she obviously has to deal with all the time at school, but just in life, and then to have never missed a day of school in her life is tremendous. Matter of fact, when we started the year, last year, fully remote, Mr. Addis, when he made the call, like 5 minutes later, we got a call from Andrea. What does this mean for my attendance? My perfect attendance? And I was like, just good. I'm just kidding. It wasn't 5 minutes, probably like an hour. Anyway, so, but she's a tremendous young lady, so I know that Ms. Thornberry has some great words to say about it.
Well, as you already said, Andrea is probably one of the best artists that I've ever had the pleasure of teaching. Not only is she incredible at her craft, but I've actually learned a lot from her as well. She is going to be going to Kent State and going into fashion design next year, and I can't wait for her to be famous and then come back and be like, oh yeah, my art teacher didn't really teach me anything about fashion design because I don't know anything about sewing. So she's amazing, her work is amazing. We've run a fashion show for 3 years. The first year Andrea was a model for a couple different looks and made a couple looks. And then she's actually won our fashion show the last 2 years. And I would say very handily won our fashion show, although we had plenty of other really awesome looks as well. But it's gonna be big shoes to fill when she graduates. I'm very, very sad to see my senior class go. We've got a lot of incredible artists that was just talking with her family about that. This year alone, she's had a lot of really wonderful accolades. She's won a Silver Key in the Scholastics Art Competition. She had her piece go to the state level of judging for the Governor's Art Show. She just recently on Friday won first place at the Starburst Show at Summit Art Space, which was a senior-only show for Summit County seniors. And I haven't gotten the chance to look at it. I was on vacation last Friday, but I can't wait to go see the show. And I know that her work's gonna shine because it always does. Nonetheless, I don't know. I'm going to miss you a ton. I've learned so much from you, and I don't want you to ever graduate, but I am really excited to see you go and grow and become the awesome person that you're going to be.
Thank you. She's like the Norton High School Kyle Ripken, is what she is.
Yes, exactly.
So, congratulations to you.
Next, Mr. Travis Dobbins from Norton Middle School.
I had the pleasure of introducing Jeremiah Saunders, a sixth grade student. It's going to be recognized by a seventh grade student because he's currently taking a seventh grade math class and doing very well. Usually when we get a student of the month nominated, they come down to the office to talk to him a little bit, and immediately I could tell he was very uncomfortable just talking about himself. And that, to me, he's just so humble. And I said, why do you think you were nominated to be student of the month? And he's like, I have no idea. I do the right things. And I said, that's exactly what they said when I spoke with your teachers. They nominated you because of all the right things you do and what a leader you are. One of the things I mentioned is, he's just such a good friend to everyone in class, and he's such a good leader. So we were talking about his younger siblings today, who are 6 and 8, I see them here, and just being a good role model for them says a lot about Jeremiah. So, Mrs. Butcher?
Thank you. So I have Jeremiah in one of my seventh grade math classes as a sixth grader, because he just excels at math, and he is pretty much the top student in there. And he is modest, but he does always help other students if needed. He's just an excellent role model, as said, and I have a couple words here from his other sixth grade teachers, too. He's an exemplary role model for his peers because he makes great choices inside and outside the classroom. Jeremiah is a hardworking and very conscientious student. He comes to school prepared to learn, actively engages in class lessons, and takes pride in completing quality work, very high quality work, in every class every single day. He is kind and respectful to everyone in the school building, and in return is well-liked by all who meet him. Jeremiah is an extremely patient, very true, in our classroom, patient, tolerant, understanding young man who is willing to lend a helping hand to anyone who needs it. We can always depend on Jeremiah to share his ideas with the class and volunteer. And he said, keep up the excellent work, as I say too. Thank you.
Next, Mr. Brady Sackett from NES.
All right, I am here today with our student of the month for Norton Elementary School. This is Cora Vargo, and with her is her teacher, Jenna Mitchell. And you know, it's fun to hear all these stories, man. I just love coming here. Just hearing the awesome things that we do academically, and just the stories are just always making me feel so good. So I'm just proud of being part of this district. But when I met with Cora, same thing. She's into softball. She's into horseback riding. But her personality is so fun. And I had a short time to talk with her, and what made me really think this week was the combination between Mrs. Mitchell and Cora. Now, if you know anything about Mrs. Mitchell, she's got a fun, super fun personality. Every day, I've worked with her for 10 years now, and it's just fun. And, you know, when I pulled Cora out, we started talking, and if Mrs. Mitchell, she popped out, and these two were like old friends. Man, I'm telling you, I've never seen two like girlfriends talking back and forth, finishing sentences, and I was there, I don't know, 5 minutes. But it just stuck out to me that the combination between a teacher and a student sometimes can just flourish into something really fun. So Ms. Mitchell, talk a little bit more about Cora.
You know, one of the most important roles of a student leader is to be someone who motivates others and inspires others, and that's Cora, exactly. Cora is that person that is always behind the scenes that you hear commenting or complimenting someone, or if someone drops something, she's down there, you know, helping them pick it up, or she'll recognize if someone changed their hair or has a new shirt on, and she's the first one to say, wow, I really like that. Or if someone gets out in a game and is upset, she's the first one to come over to them and say, it's okay, you did a good job, you really improved. So she is definitely someone who inspires others, and you can see just by looking at her, she's just the sweetest girl ever. She loves art, so she drew me this on the way here, okay? So maybe even sometime, was it Andrea, could come down to the class and show us a few things. I'm sure that we have a lot of creative kids in my class this year. So definitely that would be something fun, but you know, just seeing, you know, Cora looking up to those of you that were standing up here as well, it just shows that you make a difference, and your leader is just like you are. You're to the other younger kids, okay? So I'm very proud of her. Another thing I wanted to say is I don't think people realize, but the kindergarten class, or the second grade class this year was one of the classes that were affected the most with COVID. They haven't really had a normal year of school. So their kindergarten year was cut short. First grade was combination of remote, hybrid, being completely separated. So, and then this year, it's just now feeling kind of normal, right? So really when you think about it, these are the kids that have been affected the most, but somehow she persevered. I mean, she is so smart, so intelligent. She is in the top of my class in both reading, both math, art. She's just overall just a wonderful, wonderful kid. So, and I'm sure she'll be standing up here one day in middle school or in high school. So I'm proud of you.
Yeah, with all the work that we do, it's so fun to remember how fun people are. So thank you so much for being fun every day.
Next, representing our littlest Panthers, Mr. Eric Morris from primary.
Good
I have the opportunity to introduce Lily Woolley, our kindergarten teacher, and Ms. Hayden Smith. We might be the last group, and we're probably the littlest panther in the room, but we are probably the biggest personality-wise in Little Panther Nation. Amazing young lady here. She's got the uncanny ability to read adults. You know, if you're kind of having a bad day, she picks up on that real quick, stops you in the hall, you know, is not afraid to talk to you. Having a bad day? What can I do to help? You know, just super, super nice. Just an amazing young lady. I look forward to seeing all the things that she's going to accomplish in the future. One thing that if you want to see something that is priceless, April 22nd is Cheese Pizza Day, and we have a cheese pizza dance that is done on that day, and Hayden is fantastic. Aren't you?
Yeah.
So I'll turn it over to Ms. Woolley.
Yeah, so I've had the pleasure, I taught preschool last year, and I had the pleasure of having Hayden last year and this year. So we've got to know each other very well and have lots of fun together. I chose Hayden because she is a lot like Laura. She is the first one to greet somebody when they come in the door. If somebody's absent, she's the first one they come back. She's like, hey, we missed you. How was your break? Like, what were you doing? All kinds of stuff like that. If somebody loses a game, she's the first to say, hey, it's okay. And if somebody else earns a star or a sticker for when we're standing in line quietly, she's the first one to say, you did a great job, and congratulate them, and never says anything negative about her getting what the other kids are getting. So just very proud of her and excited to see where she's going, even though I will miss her so much.
Okay, we're going to take a short recess to allow us to congratulate the students of the month. If the students could please come up here for a quick picture with Mr. Addis, and we'll also give you your student of the month yard signs. And then after the conclusion of that, feel free to leave. It is a school night. The kids are probably tired from being off from spring break. I know mine were, so feel free to leave if you want. Otherwise, you can stick around. Participation. I'm sorry. Item 5, public participation. Community comments are one way for citizens to communicate with the Board of Education. When you are called upon, please stand, state your name, address, topic. Each person is allotted 3 minutes until a total time of 30 minutes is used. Persons desiring more should follow the procedure of the board to be placed on the regular agenda and are limited to 5 minutes to speak as time permits. Remember, this is a formal and official meeting of the Board of Education. What you say becomes part of the official meeting report. If your comment involves a problem with a student, employee, or board member, please do not address them by name. Keep in mind, we are meeting in a schoolhouse and possibly in the presence of students. At this time, the primary role of the Board of Education is to listen, reflect on your comments. The board will not respond with action, but will take comments under advisement and direct the comments to the appropriate staff member to address outside of this board meeting. Please do not use the individual employee's name in this forum. And we have one person signed up, so you get your 5 minutes, and that is Aaron Burnett.
My name is Aaron Burnett. I live on Greenwich Road in Norton. I have two children that attend the middle school in fifth and seventh grade. I'm here to address the school board about open enrollment and academic concerns. The state website at reportcard.ohio.gov reports total enrollment last year was only 2,279 students, and students enrolled in the district where they live, approximately 1,600. That's 1,600 Norton residents and dropping. That puts us close to 30% open enrollment, and I suspect the numbers this year are even worse. I've told you repeatedly, good Norton families keep leaving. Open enrollment students and their behavioral issues keep driving people out. I pulled the auditor's performance audit conducted by the state of Ohio. Page 10 pretty much sums up the problem. It states Norton City School District has a history of significant open enrollment students, which increased 21.8% from 2011 to 2016. The district practice has been to admit open enrollment students to offset the decline in resident students, because the district feels it operates optimally with approximately 200 students per grade. We have a problem. There's only 143 kids left in my son's seventh grade class, and 30% of them are open enrolled. The state income tax that was passed was not for school security. It was passed because of plummeting enrollment. What other school district could close two elementary schools and need more money? All the income tax levy did was buy time. We know it's coming for Norton residents. More school levies with higher taxes, or a state takeover and a financial collapse. Over $24 million to educate 2,200 students last year. That's close to $11,000 per student to run this place. Open enrollment students bring in $5,000 to $6,000 depending on what district they come from. It costs the taxpayers $5,000 for every open enrollment student we bring in here. It's no longer financially sustainable. And there's a direct correlation between the behavioral issues and our academic decline. Look at the state report card. This is what $24 million bought my children last year. Prepared for success, 44% F. Those are high schoolers prepared for college or a technical field. At-risk third graders, 113 students were off track in reading, 61% F. Achievement scores, fifth grade math, 53% F. Sixth grade English, 55% F. Math, 52% F. Seventh grade math, 57% F. English, 62% F. Eighth grade English, 60% F. This is what open enrollment has done to my school. You are failing at your only responsibility, and that is education. You've flooded Norton schools with open enrollment, you've destroyed the learning environment because of their behavioral issues, and you've demotivated our great teachers, great principals, bus drivers, and staff members because of the pitiful pay scale. I'm here to challenge you tonight. Call an executive session after this meeting. Ohio Revised Code 3313.98 allows you to change your board policy on open enrollment. End open enrollment in Norton schools. Reduce your enrollment 30% and then reduce that $24 million budget by 30%. That saves taxpayers $7 million next year. And end the income tax. And I encourage you to do it voluntarily. The taxpayers, the voters are done writing checks for open enrollment. The best part is 1,600 Norton students are now educated out of two buildings. The elementary goes K through 6 and that new high school goes 7 through 12. You completely vacate this entire corner. You're pouring millions of dollars into this building alone, and it should have been torn down 20 years ago. The district keeps trying to shift the focus to emotional support and counseling. These kids walk in the doors, are taught, it's not your fault you can't read, it's not your fault you can't write a paragraph, it's not your fault you can't publicly speak. But how are your feelings today? My children don't need counseling, they need educated. English, math, writing, and science, and then send them home. That fulfills your obligation. I'm going to sit down here for the rest of the meeting, and we're going to find out if you're going to fix Norton City Schools tonight. As a parent, failing grades are not acceptable. It's every grade level. It's in multiple areas. I stood here back in December, and I told you the direction of this school district is going to change. If an employee has a problem with that, seek employment elsewhere. I'm here tonight because the most immediate threat to this district is academic decline. These test scores are alarming. They're completely unacceptable, and if you don't end open enrollment's going to end us.
Okay. We are, any other public participation? All right, I'm seeing none. We're gonna move on to item 6, the agenda. Is there any additions or corrections to the agenda?
Yeah, item 10B4, I would like to remove Dennis Oswald. Dennis's contract actually runs through 2023, and his middle school contract was in his file, which runs through 2022. So he's not actually eligible for a new contract until next year. So
okay, so we just make that item B numbers 1 through 6 and change the numbers.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to remove on item B, number 4, and then just replace 5, 6, 7 with 4, 5, 6. So it'll be items 1 through 6.
Okay.
Is there any other additions or corrections? All right, can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So I'm going to do one.
Oh.
Do we add Dan?
No.
Okay.
Second.
Can you please call the roll?
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Stats?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Weber?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Okay, we're moving on to item 7. It's board business. Item A, 1 through 16, is just first reading. There is no vote. Item 8, the approval of minutes. Can I have a motion to approve items A through D?
So moved. Second.
Any discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Stats?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Weber?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Moving on to item 9, Treasurer's Recommendation. Can I have a motion to approve the warrants and financial statements for March 2022, items A and B?
So moved. Second.
Can you please call the roll?
Mrs. Stats?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Weber?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Okay, can I have a motion to approve the administrative contracts, item C, numbers 1 through 2?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All right, can you please call the roll?
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Weber?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Stats?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. We're going to move on to section 10, Superintendent's Recommendation. Can I have a motion to approve resignations, item A, numbers 1 through 3?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Can you please call the roll?
Mrs. Weber?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Stats?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Okay, we are moving to item B. Can I have a motion to approve the administrative contracts, items 1 through 6?
So moved.
Second.
Can you please call the roll?
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Stats?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Weber?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Can I have a motion to approve the continuing contracts, item C?
So moved. Second.
Any discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Stats?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Weber?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Can I have a motion to approve the limited contracts, item D?
So moved.
Second.
Can you please call the roll?
Mrs. Stats?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Weber?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Can I have a motion to approve classified staff letter E?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Please call the roll.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Weber?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Stats?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Can I have a motion to approve substitutes, items F and G?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Can you please call the roll?
Sorry. Mrs. Weber?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Stats?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Can I have a motion to approve stipends and supplementals, items H through L?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Can you please call the roll?
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Stats?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Can I have a motion to approve the non-renewal items M through Q? Second.
Count what your name was.
Any discussion? Can you please call the roll?
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Stats?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Can I have a motion to approve substitutes for 2022-2023 school year of items R through S?
So moved.
Second. Can you please call the roll?
Mrs. Stats?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. All right, consent agenda items, athletics. Can I have a motion to approve consent agenda items T through BB?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
I do want to add some comments on the OHSA resolution. So by voting on tonight's resolution, we are agreeing to conduct our athletic programs in accordance with the Constitution, bylaws, regulations, business rules, interpretations, and decisions of OHSAA. I just want to highlight that bylaw 161 for team membership references the OHSAA transgender policy, which allows biological boys to compete in sports against biological girls. So I have a concern in that, just with the safety and equality and opportunity afforded to girls in Auburn. And I also want to bring up the April 8th Diversity, Inclusion, Equity, and Belonging Conference that was just hosted, and just some of my concerns that could potentially come out of that. So it's just a high impact organization on the student experience, and we don't have a lot of recourse against what happens, and we're kind of told, take everything or leave it. So I just want to highlight that as a concern.
Okay. Thank you. Any other discussion? Can you please call the roll?
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Stats?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. On to item 11, superintendent's reports.
Yeah, just a couple of things. First of all, once we start getting into April, May agendas, it's a lot on Kelly. And so I want to publicly say thank you to her. She works really hard at this. I like the new meetings that we have established to help help her out. And hopefully that's going well. So I just want to publicly thank her. I also want to tell the board on October 14th of next year of 2021 is when Ohio plans to release its next state report card. And that is the first one where districts will have a grade since 2019. And so obviously our analyzation of the report card, our AP growth, our ACT, everything that we do, we take a look at hard. And so 2019 was our last report card where we were able to analyze and compare our academic improvement from 2018. I sent this to our families, but I wanted to remind the board of just a couple of items. Overall, as a district, we received a B, which put us in the top 32% in the state. Our district achievement score was a C. If you remember, the board has, we have two goals on our strategic plan, and one of them is an increase in PI score. I personally think the PI score is what a district should be held responsible for, because some of our kids, no matter how much we love them or work with them, they're never going to reach the 80 percentile on the testing, but yet they get dinged on state testing. The PI score will say if we have a student who scores at a 62 and makes it to a 64, then that great young kid gets credit. So the PI score is important. And 80% is a B, We improved as we had wanted to, but still scored it to 79.3. And the board needs to know that over 50% of Ohio school districts received a D or an F in that category. We received an C. Norton City Schools is one of 202 districts to earn an A in gap closing. So gap closing takes your most vulnerable populations of students and their growth in English language arts, math, and graduation. So it takes some of your kids that struggle with school the most, and it takes a look at how well you do with them. And again, we were one of 202 districts to earn an A. We earned a B in K through 3 literacy. However, our percentage increased from 63.2 to 78.8. That was one of the things that we worked hard at. Only 82 of Ohio's 608 districts earned an A or a B. We were one of them. We improved from a C to a B in the progress category. We were happy with that progress. We earned an A in graduation, which we should earn every year. There was a category on the state report card called Prepared for Success. It will no longer be on any future state report cards because 84% of Ohio school districts earned a D or an F. We did improve by 23.5 points, which is a credit to all of our people, but we stayed in the D category. Spending and performance has been important to us. We have 272 what the state uses as comparison districts. Norton City Schools spent more on classroom instruction than 235 of those 272 comparison districts. We were number one in Summit County in spending and performance. So our residents can, that's a bang for your buck. That is how much you have for spending and our PI score based on that. And number two in similar districts in Ohio in spending and performance. This one I was really happy with because a few years ago, the board agreed to allow us to bring in a gifted coordinator. And Tricia Ebner has served this district well. Our PI score in gifted was 118.51, and this placed us as the 45th best district out of the 569 listed. So that puts our gifted PI as the top 8% in the state. I was really proud of Tricia, and she's worked hard, and our teachers have done a lot of extra work to be certified as gifted. Four new advanced placement courses at the high school. I'm really proud of our financial literacy course at NES. And I know that we have all talked about enrollment in the district. So I took a look at Columbus schools, which obviously everyone knows is growing. The state of Ohio in the last three years has seen a decline of 53,000 resident students. With almost half of these being pre-K and K. More parents are waiting, a delay in enrollment, much more homeschooling throughout our state. But the biggest concern, and it should be a concern to us too, is one out of every students enrolled in Ohio right now is listed as chronically absent. And so that impacts enrollment scores as well. So, you know, like Bexley is a thriving community, thriving school district. They were down 19% in kindergarten enrollment. Columbus City was down 16%. Columbus Whitehall was down 25%. So it's impacting a lot of school districts. And you have seen the EMIS reports. We know our numbers are going down. We've actually lost 258. We set out on a plan in 2017. We knew the district was a little heavy in our open enrollment numbers. And so we have worked pretty hard on that, and we have 258 fewer open enrollment students than we did in 2017, trying to get to a more natural number. It has cost the district quite a bit, but we felt it was the best thing. But if you take a look at where our kids start, you know, like take a look at, it would be the current fifth graders. It's a group of 172. They had 182, 182, 181, 179, 172. You could take a look at this entire chart, and as you work your way through, once our kids get to our schools, they don't leave. We are getting fewer kids enrolled. Our kindergarten numbers are down, our preschool numbers are down, but that's what's happening across the state. So I just wanted to make you aware I did send some of that to our community but I thought in my report tonight would be appropriate time to update all of you.
And I appreciate that, because I think a lot of times when people see the percentages, they don't understand what the grade is in relation to that. So people, like, you know, normal world is a 60 or something is failure. In the grand scheme of things, when you look at the report card, I mean, a failure is well below 30%. So some people relate 60% to failure when a 44% is actually a D. So it's good that we clarify that sometimes, because it does get mixed up thinking that the normal grading scale is what is failure. So
there's really no one in Columbus that will share with us why 80% is the mark, why any student has to score at an 80%. And our kids and our teachers and our community, they've all dealt with, we're on our third different set of tests now. And the fear has been, it's really the highest bidder. Who gets to make up these tests? And I know one of the years, I can't remember if it was the Park test, but our kids went into these tests blindly. You know, now fortunately, our kids are built to do well. Our PI score has maintained a really strong standing locally. And I would just encourage you, there's a lot that you can look at and that you should look at. The PI score is really the one, because I see all these kids every day. And some of them are just the best kids in the world. But I know when I sat down to take a test, I didn't like it at all. I wasn't very good at taking a test. And some of our kids are in the same boat. I don't know if I would have scored an 80% on standardized testing back in the day. So it's a challenge for our kids, challenge for our teachers, and they're actually doing a really good job at it.
Well, and I'll say this, and no offense to Hudson, but you know, when we look at how the state grades students, it's always with a college focus, and so many of our students don't necessarily go to college. So I always say this, put one of our kids on a backhoe and they can earn a living. Send that backhoe to Hudson, can they drive it? No offense.
None taken.
But I think, you know, looking at, we gotta look at, you know, our kids are successful with or without college. So many of our kids, you know, they get right out there and are very successful. So to just look at the state's scores, it's not fair to our students.
Well, you know, there was a 2-year study on the state report card. I think the ODE finally listened to lawmakers, to citizens, to teachers, to administrators, and they worked really hard on the new report card, and I think it's a little clearer. We want accountability. You know, we don't just want to come to school. We want to be held accountable for what we do, but like the indicators met. That's a category that's gone. It will no longer be on the state report card, and it should never be on the state report card. What should be on is a kid scores here, next year, did they do better? Mm-hmm. Is the school constantly, that kid, and we have, I don't know, I can't say hundreds, I don't know. Every district has kids that will never hit the 80%. And so what the resident does is they pick up a piece of paper, the newspaper, and they read these percentages, and you know, like Akron Public. They're going to get an F every single year if it's 80%. They just are. So what's everyone think? They think that there are no good teachers and kids in Akron Public, and there are incredible teachers in Akron Public. I mean, incredible. So we're taking a little different approach to it, and I hope that it's better. I hope that's better for our kids, and I hope that it's better for our teachers. I think the community members in every community that want to dive into the right way will choose to do that and sort of understand what's the right way to look at it.
And one more quick segue, if you don't mind. And Jennifer, you mentioned it on the NHS update with some reporters here. I mean, on the 6th of May, we have a signing day. And typically schools will promote signing of athletics, you know, kids sign into college. Our students have the opportunity, if they're going to a workforce, you know, to have a signing day. The employer hopefully can come. Our kids that are signing for the military have the opportunity to celebrate that. And it's super exciting, because it goes to your point, Lisa, is, you know, it's not just celebratory to go to college. It's enrolling, enlisting into the Army, you know, going into the workforce. So I just wanted to make that a point. If you guys can make it, or somebody, that would be great to get some.
Well, you know, the prepared for success category, one way that you earn points is by how many of your kids were in an IB program, an international baccalaureate program. There are less than 100 schools in the state that have it. So the, you know, districts. The other 500, they could never earn any points into that. And so you were negatively scored for a category that you didn't even have in your district. So that's no longer in there. Indicators met, no longer in there. And the new report card regulations are all online to see what's coming. So, and I still think districts are going to feel the impact of the pandemic. At least that's what the state is telling us for another year or so.
Great.
Okay.
Anything else? Okay.
Thank you for that.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Can I have we're going to move on to item 12. Can I have a motion to move into executive session to discuss the employment of personnel?
So moved.
Second.
Can you please call the roll?
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Stats?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes. And we will not be making any decisions coming out of executive session. We are now out of executive session. Can I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Can you please call the roll?
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Stats?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
We are now adjourned. Oh.